Any initial thoughts before I start tossing questions your way?
Even when he filmed it, he was seeing it then. So hard to say, and it's how much more. I mean, obviously, it's significant more. But
there were technologies that would come out, things that you would hear people say or do, and other individuals would take this idea and extrapolate it out and go, well, if this is going on, this could possibly come about. And they're quick to go, oh, no, 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 we won't go to that extreme. But in our lifetimes, we have seen these extremes broached. Let me give the example of abortion. Nobody has a right to tell a woman what she can do with her body. Okay. And people will say, well, pretty soon, because of our medical advances, people are going to start aborting children for things not due to rape or incest or some horrible situation that came about. They'll do it just because it's a girl and they wanted a boy. And we've seen that in China, a non-Christian culture that has elevated the man in society, and so little girls are aborted and abandoned. You go, well, that's not going to come here. It has come here.
Well, you see, I mean, now they have blood screenings. This is the first time that we ever had one done was with this pregnancy because of what happened in the last one, and we knew at, 12 weeks, like, our baby is a boy before he even had, male parts fully formed. And you
because
also know that
cells.
Anything that's any genetic thing that's wrong. And so now instead of having to wait until you're almost 20 weeks to decide to abort that baby because it has Down syndrome, you can get it done much earlier.
Yeah.
And now they're doing it for other things. Like you can say, well, it has a genetic abnormality, but we don't know what it is. And so then it gives the woman the choice to say, well, I don't want to risk it.
In Canada right now, they are addressing laws, trying to get laws passed that will outlaw abortion based on sex selection. It's like, well, if you're going to allow abortion, what's the big deal over sex selection?
Right. If you can abort a baby just because you don't want it, then why does it matter?
Exactly. And again, we see without a foundation, really, the whole gamut of what we can do becomes acceptable. If we can, why not? Let's try it. Let's see what it's like.
You also are starting to see now the argument for post-birth abortion, that if there was something that went missed, that they can terminate within so many days. I mean, that's a very small part of the population that argues that, but it still blows my mind that somebody would even put that idea out there.
Still, exactly. And people will use the argument, well, that's just such a micro, but aren't we going to stand up for those individuals that their lives might be protected, even though it's a very small group of people who are even thinking about doing
that,
such?
That makes it interesting, but those are the weak people. He made a good, it's survival of the fittest, so standing up for the weak is not, and that's who that microcosm of people are attacking is the weak.
Right. Let's go back. Let's go back to kind of the start of the video, as he talked about Galileo and Copernicus, because Christians are going to have those guys just jammed in your face. Well, look at what the church did to Galileo and Copernicus, and the condemnation that the church brought upon Galileo and Copernicus, and the church did. How do you respond? How does the
church was wrong?
How do you say that? How can you? You're a Christian. How can you say the church was wrong? Okay, so you're a secularist. You're a scientist.
I go by the Bible, and then also just, you know, studying, you know, with this book that we've been going through, just studying the history of the church. You know the history of the church. You know its errors. And you can, because you have this foundation, you can clearly say those are errors and they were wrong.
Okay, so the church was wrong. But what were Galileo and Copernicus not doing? What was the church's beef?
That it went against an authority, a figure they thought was an authority on their stance versus Galileo's and Copernicus' stance.
Okay, it conflicted with the church's teachings. Okay. What? Do you understand that Galileo and Copernicus were not trying to, and were not at all,
right,
define Scripture? In fact, they upheld it. They felt, what we are seeing is upheld in God's Word. We see what we see in God's Word. And the church is going, no. The church is going, fluff. You know, it conflicts with our Aristotelian theory of the universe, but it doesn't conflict with the Word of God. And so both Galileo and Copernicus were standing on the Word of God and looking into the heavens. That was their foundation. So the church was wrong, not because they were anti-science, but because they didn't know the Word. The church didn't stand on the Word of God.
And then isn't our job to, you said, oh, are you against the church? It isn't our job to be for or against the church per se, but to stand for the Word of God. Because if the church is not, if that's not your foundation, then I don't care if you're a church or not.
Yeah. Indeed. He talked about modern science, or these early scientists, caring about not only the how, but the why. You know, how these things take place, yes, but why? What is the foundation? What happens if scientists really don't care about the why? Is that even a confusing question?
They didn't concern themselves with the lie because they already knew the lie because God created it.
Whoops.
Nowadays, they're worried with the lie because they don't have that foundation anymore.
That's interesting. Yeah, as they probe and try and determine a why.
I thought he mentioned that, like, Newton was more concerned with the how, not the lie, because he already knew the lie. As far as a creator God.
Well, they said that they kind of condemned you if you, not condemned, but looked down on it if you were concerned with only the how and not the why.
Exactly.
Because the why was
integral.
And
it was integral for knowing the how.
Oh, okay.
And for understanding the how.
Okay, see, I thought
exactly.
They were saying that they already understood the why.
I would let me encourage you a classic piece of writing, and it is Blaise Pascal's Penzies. And Penzies, I guess, is French for fragments. He never completed it. It is a collection of philosophical writings on the world, the cosmos, and theology that essentially they collected together after his death and put it in a book. But there are some just breathtaking insights regarding God and the world around us. Theology has been referred to, they mentioned Whitehead suggesting it, but it was also around long before him that theology was the mother of all sciences. Okay, it was the foundation for understanding the why of really all the rest of the sciences, which is why that was the case. From that, Schaefer discussed how Chinese science kind of ebbed and Arabian science kind of ebbed. Was Chinese science ever great? Exactly.
I mean, they had mechanical machines that,
Exactly. You go, wow, they had a heyday. How about Arabian science?
You use it every day in math.
Exactly. Okay, so there was a time where both of these cultures were great scientifically, but ultimately you look at what has become of the Arab Middle East and you don't see civilization wrought out of that. You don't see scientific advances come out of that. Obviously, there are great universities in the Middle East now and in China where scientific work is going on, but really that has stemmed off of what the Western world has brought to bear because of, ultimately, the scientific...
And couldn't that be partly... just culturally wise, that the people that weren't doing the sciences kind of started changing culturally, and then they kind of crushed the science. Whereas in Christian, like through our book, we kind of see that the church kind of kept things together during a hard time, and it kind of kept them going so that it let them continue on, and it gave them a base. Whereas, like, in the Middle East and China, culturally, people who weren't doing
science... the worldviews essentially took them to their logical end. The Christian worldview, knowledge and study and the like continued to pursue, because God has revealed himself in his word, and in his word, it testifies to the fact that the heavens declare the handiwork of God. So if God has revealed himself, thank you, in his word, that if he says it's in the cosmos and in the creation as well, then we should seek him in the creation. We should study to see the amazing orderliness and the wonder of God and the laws that he has put into the cosmos right now to see the beauty of the God who is there. He spoke of open and closed systems. Let me dismiss that question. There's a lot on here, a lot of questions I pose. I would encourage you to take home with you, or to discuss amongst yourself or your friends at work, and the like. Let's kind of skip down toward the end on the back page. He started talking about genetic engineering. Talked about in vitro fertilization, essentially. And when in vitro fertilization first began, there was a huge ethical concern about it. People started, does anybody even question in vitro fertilization anymore? No. At the same time, are there still issues? Are there biblical questions that the Christian should wrestle with regard to in vitro fertilization? Or not? Is it settled?
I think that the only thing that comes to my mind is when you start implanting, or like they have things now that, well, I don't know if they have it yet, but they're moving towards it, that you can actually choose like to implant a boy or a girl, like they can test them that
early. Picking our kid. I mean, it's like going to a buffet, and I'll have that, I'll have that, I'll have that, I'll have that. Is that acceptable? And we are not going to come up with that answer in 2 minutes, but that is something that Christians need to discuss.
I don't think in vitro fertilization in and of itself is something that you should question. You know, to say, like, is this a means for, like, should I do it? But when you get, if you start getting into those things, like, are you doing it so that you can choose these things, or?
Right now, how does in vitro fertilization work?
They take, we actually have friends that just did this, and she just had her baby. They just take something from you and something from him. And
just one egg?
No, multiples.
Oh, they take multiple eggs, do they? Hmm. And then what do they do?
They fertilize
them. They fertilize all those eggs. Hmm. So what are we going to do with all of those? So what
well,
really...
It depends on how many you choose to implant.
What is a fertilized egg?
A baby.
Okay, let's call that a baby. All right. Now, we all know biology here. How often when a husband and wife come together, does it happen where the egg is fertilized but the mother rejects it? Even before she knows she's pregnant. Yeah, it happens all the time. But that's not our doing. That is not our doing.
And that's part of the reason why you see so many people who do IVF that have multiples, that you have, you know, quadruplets, because you implanted and they all took.
Yeah. So, and what are you going to do with all those fertilized eggs now? We're just going to freeze them indefinitely? Wow. Gender, you know, science and gender. So I could take estrogen and enlarge my breasts. I could do that. Does that make me a woman? And the things we can do, ought we to do that? My child is confused about whether she's a girl or a boy. So should I give her hormones now to stop her puberty? She's done. Example. To stop her puberty until she is comfortable with who she is.
Well, you see people now doing it with toddlers, you know, 3-year-olds that are like, well, she wants to be a boy and we're not going to tell her what she needs to be. One of my 3-year-olds wants to be a boy.
We haven't named him yet.
That's ridiculous.
Or her yet. Until... What happens if you give the child hormones to stop their puberty?
Growth issues, developmental issues, all kinds of things.
You sterilize your child. You ultimately sterilize your child at this point. Are they going to overcome that? I have no idea. I would contend that one who is born a female will never produce sperm naturally. I would contend that one who is born a man will never have his body create an egg naturally. So all of these doors have been flung wide, blown off their hinges because science, because we can do it. And we, the church, has been silent about it. For the most part. There are a few voices crying in the wilderness. Francis Schaeffer's was one of them. Sierra Coop, another one. There are pastors out there right now. Albert Moeller, Dr. Moore, as well. There are others who are trying to speak to the culture. But we have a place way down here on the front lines. You know, we're not the generals in this. We're the privates on the front line in our conversations day in and day out on Facebook. In grace, with grace and love.
That's the hardest part.
To declare the truth. You know, it should grieve our hearts. It should grieve our hearts to see people doing this. I mean, grieve our hearts. It should not make us stand on the table and shake our fists and get angry and start blowing people away.
That's I think that it grieves my heart to see it, but then at the same time, you look at this issue with the Target and the bathrooms, it grieves my heart almost as, if not more, to see the Christians who are lashing out and are being hateful and just spewing, you know, just bigotry and awfulness towards, it's like, you can speak the truth in love, and that's not what you're doing. Like,
very important.
Nobody ever, you know, wants somebody to Christ because, you know, because of the, like, the words that you're using and the things that you're saying.
Sure. All right, we're out of time, man.